Morning. Good morning. Before we get started, as the choir, I know the choir is still finding their seats and everything, and I know we've prayed several times, but we're going to be talking about praying today, a specific prayer. So let's start again, and let's pray before I need it, and we're going to talk about, that's the whole message today, about how much I need your prayer. But let's start off today by praying before we get into the message. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and Lord, I just pray the words that we just sang. Lord, I pray that we would just have a closer walk with you. Lord, we just ask that you would grant it, Jesus. This should be our only plea, Father, that daily walking close to you, Father, I just pray that you would let that be here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I pray that you would let it be, because if we're going to be the church that you designed, if we're going to be the church that you put together, as we go through this series talking about how we are the church, I am Fork Union Baptist Church. I am the church that's universal all around the world. Lord, it's got to start with us having a closer walk with you, because that's where we really see what's important in life and what's really eternal and what's really carnal and what's really worldly and temporary and what's eternal. And so, Lord, that's our prayer today. That's my prayer. It's what's on my heart. And I thank you for that old song that we just sang. Let us have a closer walk with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am Fork Union Baptist Church. This is part four. If you haven't been here in the last weeks, we're on the fourth sermon of six is what I've got planned, unless the Lord changes something. But we're going to be doing a six-week series. We're coming on the downhill side of it. The title for today is this: I will pray for my church leaders. So to be an effective and to be a functioning church member, we are to be praying church members, especially specifically today. We pray for all the church members. We pray for the community. We pray for the world. We pray for the church around the world. But today we're going to focus on the importance of praying for our church leaders. So if you want to find 1 Timothy chapter 3, I would encourage you to go ahead and find that in your Bibles. All of our texts, there is so much more text about church leadership and about the requirements of church leadership throughout the New Testament and throughout the Bible. But this is what's on my heart. This is where we're going to stick with, because we don't have enough time to go through all of it. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to find that, it's where our text is going to come from today. If you haven't been with us the last couple weeks, I want to start this morning just to catch you up real quick. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to the sermons, not because I did a great job preaching them, just because it will catch you up on this series and what we're talking about. And this all is based off of the book by Tom Rainer that says, I am a church member. And it really points to all the scripture that shows us what a real church member is. We saw the first week that we are all called and we are all expected, we are all wanted by God to be a functioning member of the church. Second week, we talked about this. We saw that he expects each one of us and wants each one of us, and we should all be striving to be a unifying member of the body of Christ. And last week, we saw that church membership should never be about my preferences. It should never be about your preferences and desires being done in the church. We're all called to serve. That's what we talked about last week. That's what Jesus talked about, right? We're called to be servants. In fact, the Bible even uses the word slaves to others. And we saw in Mark chapter 9, Jesus told his disciples this. He said, if you want to be first, if you really want to know what it means to be first, you have to be last. And we talked about when you really become a humble servant and you humble yourself and you quit wanting things your way and you say, it's all about the greater good of the church. And you find out how it feels to really serve others. That's where you find the joy of being last and what Jesus was really talking about. And we ended last week by looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And we saw that we are to have not close to, not something like, but we are to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus did. Right? He was the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. He was eternal. He is eternal. He's God himself in man form, and he was on earth. And he did not use his divine privileges so he could get his way. He did not use it so he could get his way. And we have to do the same thing with church membership. But instead, he humbled himself in the form of a human, and he even gave his life on the cross for you and me, even when we didn't deserve it. So today, church, as we get that little recap, today we're going to talk about praying for the leaders of the church. Specifically, we're going to talk about this church, because this is where we are. But if you're here today and you're visiting, or you're just here today with a family member or a friend, and you're a member of another church, we are to pray for our church leaders. Specifically for whoever your church leaders are. Pray for our pastors. I need your prayer. So these, I'm going to give you three things today. If you want to know what I need for prayer in my life, it's this. And if you're a note taker, if you don't take notes any other time, I would appreciate you taking notes on this, okay? This has been a difficult sermon to prepare for, but as going through this series, it's just part of it. Number one is this. Pastors, or church members, we need to pray for our pastor and his family. Number two, we need to pray for the protection of your pastor. And number three, we need to pray for his physical and mental health. So before we get into these main points, I want to remind us of this. All church leaders need our prayers. There are leaders throughout this congregation today. We have committee leaders. We have Sunday school directors. We have Sunday school teachers. We have our youth pastor. We have deacons that are even though they're servants, they're stepping up and taking leadership in the church. So all throughout the scriptures, we see elders and overseers that were appointed over God's people under the church to be leaders. We see all among all the different spiritual gifts, we see some of the gifts that are given are leadership and teaching. So to put it in context for where we are today at Fork Union Baptist Church, since we don't currently have biblical elders or overseers in place, I'm going to specifically use the role of pastor today. But don't think that I'm leaving out somebody else that's an ordained minister here or maybe another elder or in another church or a youth pastor or a music minister, different kind of ministry directors or leaders. We need to pray for them. Because each one of us can think of somebody in their life that is some form of leadership that they look up to and that there's their teacher or their director or their mentors. We need to pray for them. So today I'm going to preach this message from the perspective of how you can pray for your pastor. How you can pray for me. And it's awkward for me to preach this as the pastor, but it gives me a chance to really humble myself. And it's not easy when you go to speak the truth. It's not easy to be a Christ follower because the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves. Humble myself before God and he will lift me up. And so often we don't want to humble ourselves, so we never get lifted up and we stay down in the dumps. So I'm going to preach it from the perspective of you praying for me. And it's a chance for me to humble myself and to be real before you. And it gives you a chance maybe to get just a little taste of what it's like to be a pastor. Now, don't think that I'm going to sit here and beat down the job of a pastor. If God's calling you to be a pastor, be encouraged. It's nothing that I would do different about my calling and about being a pastor. But I need your prayers. I need your prayers, if nothing else, for my sermon. Number one, that it doesn't blow away on me today, because then I'd really have to trust the Lord. Amen. But pray that God would give me wisdom. Pray that God would give me insight when I'm sitting down and I'm studying, I'm preparing the word, preparing the message that I'm preaching the word. You see, most church members have no idea. They have no idea what it's like to have the incredible, awesome, but daunting and the burden and the task of preaching the word of God. Week and week on each end. Everybody else enjoys Sunday because they get to come to church and they get to go have a cookout. You know what the pastor thinks about all week? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And all the people that come to church, they're wanting a message. And God's got a message for me and I need to figure out what it is. And so even especially the pastor, if I have a true desire for your life to be changed, for you to grow closer with the Lord, if there's somebody who's never heard the gospel, for them to accept Jesus Christ, Maybe to find your place in the church, which I do, especially if me as the pastor hopes and prays that you're listening to God and you want to hear from God and not just the words that I speak. It's a daunting task. And there is no bigger burden that could ever be placed upon somebody during a week, end on week on week on end, than the task of preparing a sermon to preach from the heart, from God's word. But I want to echo what I want to say this. I want to before I go on, there's no better fulfilling moment than preaching the word after you've put in that burden. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's a burden, no doubt, but it's great. It's a fulfilling burden. It's the kind of burden that you get blessed for carrying. And so that's how I feel as a pastor, and this church has done a great job of loving me and my family, making sure I get fussed at a lot. But you know what most of the fusses that I get is, why aren't you taking enough Sundays off? And the truth is, sometimes I don't want to take off because I love being here and I love preaching the word. But for me, myself, for the first 32 years of my life, 32 years, I was a church member who took for granted all the work and all the sacrifice and the faithful, those people who were faithful to teach and preach the Word of God in my life. I took for granted those church members who were faithful to lead in the church in different areas. I just assumed all this happened and all these things in the church took place and all the and somehow the pastor, because he was called by God, they just gave him a sermon every week. And I probably even had the mindset of many people, maybe somebody here today that's even been guilty of saying it. The pastor's job is the easiest job in the world. You only have to work 1 hour a week, right? Have you ever heard that? I've heard it, right? I've even said it when I was younger. I grew up in with pastors in my family. So with that being said, let me assure you today that this message is not about me, about you feeling sorry for me. It's not about me trying to get more Sundays off. It's not about me telling you that my job here is so bad. It's none of that. Instead, it is your pastor coming to you today as a church member asking you to pray for me and telling you directly which areas that I need your prayer. So number one, we're going to get right into it this morning. Number one is this. Pray for me and my family. Some of the most convicting and challenging verses throughout all the scriptures for pastors is found in the text that we're going to be in today. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you found that this morning in your Bible, just say amen for me. All right, we got a lot of people that said amen, so we're going to go for it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, find verse 4 and 5. And we're going to jump around a little bit, but we're going to start with verse 4 and 5. This is what it says, talking to church leadership. Talking to a pastor, talking to an elder, an overseer of a church, it says this: he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. Y'all hearing that? Where are my kids at? He goes on to say this: for if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? See, I remember the words of an elder at the church that ordained me. And he came up to me that week and he said this. He said, Anthony, I want you to remember something. My kids were really little at the time. It was maybe, I don't even know, I guess Lily was just a little tiny baby. But he came up to me and he said this. He said, Anthony, always remember this. Don't abandon your family for the sake of the ministry. And he said, if anybody ever tells you otherwise that you're supposed to do that as a father, remember that God created the family before he created the church. Thousands of years before the New Testament church that we sit in today and that we're a part of today, God had already created the family right in the beginning of Genesis. And I've always remembered that. You see, as a pastor, I worry about my family. You want to know what I worry about? I worry about my family. I worry, do I neglect my children? Do I neglect my wife too often because of the demands of the church? And sometimes it's not that you're putting too many demands on me, but sometimes I'm too devoted or I'm here too much or I'm away too much on ministry needs and all those different things. Maybe I'm always on the phone with somebody. I'm always, well, I got to run up to the church and be on a meeting. I'll play with you later. Or maybe I'm counseling somebody who needs counseling, which are all things that a pastor should do. But these are the things I worry about, my time management. Maybe even time that I'm at home, but I'm not present because I'm withdrawn somewhere or I'm off by myself studying. And I've got my worship music on and I'm reading and I'm working on my sermon to feed everybody else while my family is leaving me alone. And that's not even to take into account the weddings and the funerals and all those extra activities that come up during the week unexpected. So I worry about my family. I worry about my family. You ever heard the phrase of living in a glass house? Anybody that's here that grew up that grew up with their parents pastoring a church, they know you're always the pastor's kid. You see, and I have to remember, and I have to, it sometimes aggravates me because my kids didn't ask to be pastor's kids. They're just kids. My wife didn't ask. She knew that was part of it when we surrendered as a family to be the pastor's wife. She's my wife. She's my bride. I've talked to one pastor who was way more seasoned than me, and he told me, he said, you know, I would rebuke people if they called my wife the pastor's wife. If they said, oh, the pastor's kids, he said, I would rebuke them. In fact, it wasn't allowed in my church because my children had the right to come to church and just be children and not the pastor's kids because that's too much burden to expect them to carry. Oh, they should have known that verse. They're the preacher's kid. Have you heard that? Right? They shouldn't misbehave. Can you believe what the preacher's kid did? Well, I would think the pastor's wife would have dressed a little nicer today than what she... I can't believe she didn't wear a full dress today and she just got on a skirt. I can't believe that. I worry about my children. I worry about my wife turning their back on the church because they've lived with their pastor. Right? They see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? Now, I'm supposed to be the pastor of the church, but I lost my temper with them and I yelled at them, or I hit my thumb with the hammer and said, "For the love of mayonnaise." Right? They live with their pastor. They see all too human how I am and who I am. And unfortunately, they see the good and the bad parts of being a church member, being a church leadership, being a part of church leadership. They've seen me come home with nothing else to give. They've seen me come home and complain. Not something I'm proud about, but I'm human. They've seen me frustrated with various meetings when I come home and they hear me and Jenny talking about those things, even when we try not to entangle them in that. They see me rejoice when I get to see the fruit of my labor and the labor of the church and new people come to the Lord. And I get to go baptize people and we get to go to missions trips and we see the church doing outreaches. But they also see me come home and want to weep when others refuse to give their life to the Lord. So as church members, today I'm asking you for your prayers for me and my family. That's simple. Pray for me and pray for my family. Why is that? Because few families face the kind of pressures, not just the pastor, but their families face the kind of pressures and expectations that the family of a pastor experiences. So I ask this morning, again, I'm not telling you to feel sorry for me. That's part of the role. That's like my job as a police officer. Part of the things that I deal with is people hating my guts and some people throwing stuff at me or whatever. I knew that when I signed up for it. But pray for me. That's all I'm asking for. Pray for me and my family. Number two, here's that. Pray for my protection. Not only do I ask for your protection within the church, but real quick, I have a dangerous secular job. Pray for me. I don't want that to shorten what God has for me to do here in the ministry, because this is where my heart and soul is. But he's teaching me that every day that he wants me to be a minister where I am. And he's got a reason for having me still working in the world, out on the streets as a police officer. And so pray for my protection. If we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see that there are more qualifications of a pastor or an overseer of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, find right at the very beginning, verses 1 through 3, it says this. This is a trustworthy saying. Now this is Paul, near the end of his life, talking to a younger minister that he's raising up. He's discipled and he's planted a church and he's discipled this guy and he's pastoring the church. And he says this: if someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. We could stop right there, and that's a hard task to fill. He goes on to say this: he must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. See, this verse tells us that as a pastor, as an overseer, as an elder, as in church leadership, I have to have a good reputation. And I have to work to maintain and to have a good reputation. When people in the community see me, when people in community hear my name, it should always bring up positive and encouraging things or statements. You see, I am to live a life above reproach. And if you want to know, what does that really mean? Well, it means that you're living a life above others finding fault with the way that you're living your life. All right? And so even if I'm not doing anything wrong, we always give young couples, when me and Jenny, when we're meeting with them for their pre-marriage counseling, we tell them you have to live above reproach. That means even if you're not having an affair, you don't leave any room or any place for anybody to say that you're having an affair, because you don't even put yourself in a position where you could be accused of that. And that's the same way with my life as a pastor. I have to live above reproach, which means being above others, being able to even say that there's any fault in the way that I live my life. That's a daunting task. And see, no pastor, I'm definitely not perfect, or any church leader is expected to be perfect. I should always strive to use self-control. Always. There's never a time where I can say, well, I'm letting my hair down and I'm not going to be sensible. I'm not going to be respectable. I'm not going to be hospitable. I must pour my heart and my soul into the ministry. I am to pour my heart and soul into every time I get to stand before people and preach the word of God. I must not be a bully, but gentle at heart. I must not be greedy, always wanting my way. I must not be addicted to wine or any other thing. And my home is to reflect a healthy Christian family. Church, do we see why I need your prayers today? Do you understand a little bit of the pressure of why in the task before your pastor, why I'm asking for your prayers? You ever seen those info commercials and you think it's all done? They say, but wait, there's more. All right, but I'm going to say that today. But wait, there's more. Look down at verse 7 in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. It says this, also, there's more, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. If you look at verse 7, Paul uses two words that should alarm every one of us. Number one, it's the devil. We should be alarmed to be looking for him, and we should not take it lightly that he's out trying to trap us. But number two is that word trap. You see, right, that verse speaks that the devil is, and it tells us the devil is setting traps specifically for your church leaders. He is actively trying to trap your pastor. You see, a trap is something that is intentionally set, and it means the devil has devised a plan to bring me down. To bring me and my family, to separate us, to ruin my reputation. He set a trap for your pastor. I need your prayer. Paul told Timothy that the devil wants to ruin his reputation. And Paul is telling me in this text, he's telling each one of you that the devil wants to bring your church leaders down. He wants to ruin my reputation so he can ruin the reputation of what God is doing here at this church. And that's real. I read about pastors all the time. And different church leadership, you know, little devotions I read and Facebook groups that I'm a part of that have different things where people offer help for pastors and all those things. And I read stories all the time that just break my heart. Powerful men of God. And they fall into the devil's traps. The devil will stop at nothing. He'll use greed. He'll use adultery, anger, addictions, whatever he can use to attack and to set traps, especially for church leaders. Satan will use all these things to catch pastors in his trap. Church, I want to remind you today that the devil is powerful. If you don't believe that the devil is powerful, go read the book of Job and try to wrap your brain around that. All right? But don't forget this, that God is way, way, way more powerful than the devil. He's so much more powerful. So we shouldn't come at it as we fear the devil. But we have to recognize his power and what he does and his traps that he sets for us. Ephesians chapter 6, you can flip there if you want. We're just going to read a few verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. This is right before Paul lists out the armor of God that we're to put on. He says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. The devil has nothing, no hope against the power of God. But he says this in verse 11, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies, all the traps of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Oh, church, if there's nothing else that scares me, and it worries me sometimes when my mind goes down that path, is thinking about myself in a moment of weakness falling into the devil's trap. Even though it blows our minds, even though it may blow your mind today, I'm here to tell you that God works powerfully through a believer's prayer. God wants you to come to him, and he wants you to pray. And something about it, he loves to see that you see that your prayers worked and God's power is working through you, and that's what he does. Therefore, we need to pray for the protection of our church leaders. Number three, a third area that I would ask today, and there's probably many more, but in this time that we have is this. Pray for my physical and my mental health. One thing I've learned about church leadership in my short time of church leadership is this. Serving and leading the church expends every bit of a pastor's physical and mental energy. more than any digging a ditch or anything could ever do. I love physical labor. I love going out and working in my yard and doing something and coming in and knowing that I've worked all day and I've worked hard and it feels good to rest. But sometimes with the kind of energy that it gets expended from a pastor or for somebody who's serving others, especially with all the emotional and tragic needs and all those different things that arise in a pastor's life, even preaching the word, sometimes I come home and I don't even hear my family speaking to me because I'm just dull. I have nothing else to give. A pastor's on call every day and every hour. I don't tell you that to complain. I tell you that because I'm there. If you need me, my phone sits on my nightstand every night, charger with it on. Because if somebody calls, I want to be there for you. I want to be there to support you. But I need your prayer. And all too often, pastors, they neglect their own health. They neglect their own family. They neglect their own well-being because they're so busy wanting to meet the needs of everybody else. And you see, if y'all would have been praying for me a little bit better, my shoulder wouldn't be messed up. So you got a little work to do. All right, I'm just kidding. I know I have people that tell me every week that say, I've been praying for you this week. And a lot of times they have no idea what I've been going through, but God had laid on their heart to pray for me. And so I receive that and I appreciate it. But seriously, nobody is exempt from sickness. I'm not exempt from my body wearing out. We know that. But I do ask that you pray for my protection. I do ask that you pray for my family and for my health. If nothing else, pray for my mental health, right? Pastors make all kinds of decisions, and we're called upon all the time from every different angle each week that requires me to use discernment and wisdom within the church. How can I answer this? How can I deal with this? Because I know this side of it. I know that side of it. I know this side of it. I know this, that this person that is talking to me now can't know because that was in confidence, but I have to make sure that there's unity in the body. It's all these different angles that a pastor has to deal with, that somebody is, that one individual coming has no idea all the other angles that the pastor's dealt with on those. All the decisions of the week that require my discernment. I need wisdom to know how to preach and to teach God's word. I need wisdom. I need wisdom to cast vision for the church's real eternal purpose and the vision for the future. I need wisdom in dealing with some of you. That's not a bad thing, I promise. But I do. In meeting your needs and dealing with you, I need wisdom so I can be the biblical leader and the godly leader that God wants me to be and that you deserve from your pastor. And I need wisdom so I can discern how to respond to all the different demands that may come my way. So we who are church members, we should pray for the health of our leaders. Church, I want to remind you this again, and I can't say it enough. This sermon is not about me telling you how hard my life is. I'm blessed. This sermon is not about me telling you how hard my job is as a pastor. Instead, this is your pastor standing before you, feeling awkward about preaching this, humbling myself, standing before you and asking you for a favor. All week long, on Sunday mornings, my phone, I get text messages. Pastor, would you pray for this? Would you pray for that? And it's so many that come in, which is great, that I can't keep up with them. And if I don't stop right then and say, Lord, I pray for brother so-and-so as he's going into the hospital to get this done. I pray for such-and-such as they're having problems in their marriage. If I don't do it right then, I'll forget about it. So it's your pastor reminding you that I'm all too human and that I need your prayers. I'm asking you today, hey, can you pray for me? It's that simple. I need your prayers because the devil hates what's happening right here on the corner of Route 15 and Route 6. He hates it. And he is walking around and he's sneaking around and he's slithering around and he's trying anything he can do to divide it and to mess it up. He can't stand all the functioning members that we have here. He can't stand all the unifying members that we have here and what's going on. He hates when he sees each one of us give up our preferences and our desires to serve somebody else and to make sure they get what they want. Oh, but what if Satan could get the pastor in a trap? What would that do? How much damage could that do to the church? So, church, this sermon is about reversing the roles today. Reversing the roles this week. We all come to the pastor asking him or her or whoever that leader is in our life to pray for us. Today, I'm asking you to pray for me. Can we handle that? Amen?
Amen.
Pray for my family. Pray for my protection. And pray for my health. If you have one of these pledges, if you look in your bulletin, each week we've been reading these pledges, and we're going to read that at this moment. And then we're going to close with the Lord's Supper. So just be prepared for that and kind of get ready for that. But I want to read this. This is the fourth pledge. And as I say every week, I would just ask you this. This one is no more important than any of the other ones that we've taken or that we're going to take in the coming weeks. But as I've said with all of them, I ask you just that you would really take it serious. Take it serious and pray about this and really make these pledges as a commitment to you. And maybe even when you go home each week, recap and go back and read those and say, am I fulfilling these pledges in my walk with the Lord? Because if we all did that, man, how the church would explode. Man, how the church would serve. Man, how the unity would be unbreakable. So it goes like this, the fourth pledge. I am Fork Union Baptist Church. I will pray for my pastor every day. That's a big commitment. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It can be, Lord, whatever Anthony's dealing with today, whatever his family's dealing with, whatever Pastor Will's dealing with today, Lord, be with him today and strengthen him. Protect their family. Protect him. Keep his, guard his mind and his heart. I will pray for my pastor every day. I understand that the pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands. They bring emotional highs and lows. He must deal with critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do it all. He cannot do all things on his power. I will pray for his strength and his wisdom daily. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, I want to say here before your church, I thank you for allowing me to be a pastor. And Lord, I humble myself before you, before anybody who's watching online, before those who are gathered here today, and I admit, Lord, that I need your help. And I need the prayers of your saints. And so, Lord, I thank you for planting me here and sending me here to Fork Union Baptist, sending my family here to Fork Union Baptist. And I thank you for all those who surround the church. They surround my family. They surround the vision of what you've laid on my heart as the leader of this church. And I thank you for that today. And God, I ask that nothing would be allowed to separate what you've brought together here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Let me see the traps, God. Let us see the traps. And let us focus on you and your mighty power as we battle the darkness in this world. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your communion cup, I would ask, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to read the scriptures. And as we're singing the closing hymn, I would ask that you would just, as we're gathered together, that you take the wafer and you break the bread and you remember what Jesus did for you. And then you drink the juice, you drink the wine, and you remember what Jesus did for you. Now, I know this sermon today was all about me, right? It was all about praying for your pastor. But I don't want to leave here today without making sure that everybody here understands why I pastor a church. I pastor a church because God saved me when I was lost. And that's what he does. He takes the old and he makes it new through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus gave his life on the cross. So that you and me would have new life. Every sin we've ever committed would be forgiven. And so as we break this bread and we've drank this juice, we remember what it cost Jesus on the cross for us to be forgiven. And if you've never received that today, or you never accepted that today, it is so easy for you to accept that today and just say, God, I believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of your glorious standard. And I believe that through the power of Jesus' blood that was poured down on the cross and that he rose from the grave, he did that so I could also be resurrected and be in new life. It's that simple. And say, I'm ready to follow you today. I'm ready to follow you today. So as we've seen this closing hymn, before I read the scripture, prepare your heart to take communion and to take the Lord's Supper seriously as you take these pledges and as you wonder, as you question yourself, have I given my life to the Lord? So let me read the scripture before we start the psalm. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20 says this. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. It's talking about Jesus. He's sitting around a table with his disciples. Then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with his blood, with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." If you need prayer today, I'm willing to pray for you today, even though the sermon was all about you praying for me, because I'm here today to serve you. I'm here today to represent my Father in heaven, who gave his Son for me, even when I didn't deserve it. And not only did he give his Son for me, he allows me to serve him and to go tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to be thinking about as we sing this song, "When I Break the Bread and I Drink the Juice." If God is calling you today, the invitation is open. Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.